Afternoon. Got you, Anchor. Approved. Can you hear me, sir?
I can hear you now. I'm sorry, it took a while to connect.
No problem. Sharpie, I'm inviting you to speak. Sharpie, can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you well and clear. Yeah, hi. Hi, everybody.
It's been a while since I've heard your voice. How are you doing, Sharpie?
Did you ever hear my voice? I'm not sure.
I think I did maybe once on one of the product update sessions. That was one of the questions I asked myself. I was like, have I actually ever heard his voice? I think I did once, vaguely. Hi, Nikki, Toti, Terra Spaces, Alejandro, Jasper. I got another request somewhere. Fraser, just a second, buddy. There we go. Approved. Mr. Edwards, can you hear me?
Yeah, perfect. Hey, Matt.
Oh, wow. Where are you, man? You sound like you're in a tin can, dude. Hi, Nicky.
Oh, sorry.
All right, I'm just going to ping Mr. Power and see where he is.
Ross is currently fighting the mic that he stole from me and now can't get it to work on his phone.
Ah, I see. Okay, well, he's requested now anyway. There we go. Approved. Ross, are you around, sir?
Yeah, can you hear me now?
He can hear you now. Lovely. How is everybody all doing on this Friday?
Oh, good. Ready for the weekend and a year older.
Yeah, we have a birthday week. Mr. Edwards.
How old are you now? I didn't want to announce it in the community because it might have doxed some part of your birthday. I actually thought about it. I was like, yeah, I'm not going to put that in there.
No, that's fair.
Big 23, isn't it?
Again, yeah, for like the 10th time running. No, to be fair, I'm going to go with Matt. So I've had a birthday at some point this week, or maybe still to come over the weekend. But we're not going to say when it is.
Do I sound particularly podcasty right now? Or do I just sound normal?
You sound normal, but you definitely sound a lot better than Fraser, who definitely sounds like he's sitting in a tin can, legitimately.
I can't tell if this mic is actually working.
No, the mic's fine. We can hear you okay.
Cool.
All right, then. I think there's a few people here now. We've got all of our speakers present. I think we'll get started. So first of all, everybody, again, as always, thanks very much for joining our end of month AMA. Wow, it's been a pretty interesting month, actually. So we've got a few things to go over, as always. We'll be taking questions at some point. I will be keeping an eye on Telegram, Nikki. Sorry for the last time. I'll be watching out if we've got any of the mods in channel. Toti, if you give me a wave in case I miss anything. Yes. If you've got any questions that you'd like to come up to speak, just raise your hand and request to speak, and we shall bring you up on stage. Please remember to keep your questions on topic in the context that we're discussing at the time. And if you've got any additional questions, please keep them at the end. And if your audio is worse than free, please just write. Well then, so I guess the first thing on the agenda, Fraser, Ross, seems you've two have been jet setting off to Web Summit in Lisbon and met up with Eduardo. So what was it like down there?
I think we just lost. Oh no, Ross is there. Okay, sorry. I've forgotten how to use Twitter Spaces. It was good, really good. I think obviously Web Summit's massive. It's like 60,000-70,000 people, so just the scale of it is absolutely gigantic. But it's also pretty generalist, so in compared to like Consensus or IOW, like it doesn't just focus on crypto or Web3 or like and stuff or even like decentralized ID. It's very much just anything to do with tech shows up. So I think the biggest thing was getting Credential Studio out in the wild and seeing how people engage with it, how they reacted to it. And obviously we also launched it while we were there. And so I think that was the biggest thing, is just putting it in front of people and seeing the reactions live. I know Ross has done a lot of these virtually, but and they've been very much like early adopters, and need to double check, but I think I can see some people on here that have been really close to it. But this was more just presenting it to a general audience. And so for that reason, it was really, really good. Just getting some feedback, seeing that we can onboard people and get them running regardless of who they are, like inside like 5 minutes at most, was really, really cool. And then I think also like myself and Eduardo and Ross spent a lot of time like chatting through like product stuff when we did have downtime from Web Summit. So that was really, really good as well. Just like figuring out a bunch of stuff that really you can only do in person, or do in person efficiently. I don't know if Ross would add anything else to that. I guess just before I hand over to him is, as well as like seeing how easy it is to onboard people, is also seeing that when you make credentials as easy as we have done with the studio, you massively broaden the audience. So had some really good chats with like a lot of companies in Web2 that just like credentials have always been like conceptually abstract, or just a bit difficult to comprehend, or they've assumed that you need a load of technical knowledge to go and deal with these things. Which we kind of disproved. So that was really cool. I'm looking forward to following up those leads over the next couple of weeks to a month, and then into the early of next year.
Lovely, thank you. And just on that very quickly, I've thrown up a video that Ross has created, which is pretty good. If you've not seen it yet, check it out, with just how easy it is to get up and running issuing credentials on the Creator Studio. But from yourself, Ross, a little few thoughts. How did you find Web Summit in Lisbon?
Yeah, I think Fraser has covered a lot of it. I think it was great, as Fraser said. You know, being able to have a booth for the day, do some demos. We were using our kind of staging environment, which is basically kind of like a test location, so it doesn't go sort of public to everyone to see. And we were being able to kind of bring people over, onboard them, grab their logo, grab their name, and actually create a really like interactive experience for people when we demo. And that's what's been like quite powerful. A year ago when we went to Web Summit, it was my first conference we've checked. We were there at a similar-ish booth talking about sort of payments and credentials and things, and we were using the Animo demo that we that Animo had basically built alongside us. And so in a matter of a year, we basically kind of build a new product, build a whole new brand, new company in some ways, and we were able to kind of demonstrate that. So it was a kind of a good satisfying feeling in terms of how far we've been able to move and how much we've been able to kind of build and demonstrate to people and make DID and identity a little bit sexier and a little bit more engaging for people, which it certainly was. So that was really positive. The conference itself, yeah, it was an interesting one. There was definitely some pros in terms of some great conversations that happen when you're able to spend some like good time in person together. Some good debating between Fraser and I, which Eduardo was kind of vigilating. That's when you have an exam, whatever the word is.
Mediating.
But yeah, so that was positive. And I think we talk like more generally about crypto, yes, last year when we were at Web Summit, there was, you know, a huge amount of crypto talks. Charles from Cardano was there debating with someone else about kind of the future of crypto. There was a talk from Tim Berners-Lee about his product. There was like a whole load of different things going on, and crypto kind of took maybe one of the primary spots in terms of like presence and conversation dominance and things like that. This year, crypto was siphoned off to like one of the side stages. It was much less of a big topic to talk about. And I guess some analysts and people would look at that and go, oh, it's not a good time for crypto and it's not a good time for blockchain and things like that. But when Fraser and I and Eduardo like reflect on it, we kind of thought in some ways, like this is what happens when an industry starts to get legitimized. It kind of goes from being this boom controversial thing to something which in some ways becomes less talked about, because actually like real things are maybe happening, but it's like a little bit quieter and a little bit less controversy. Despite everything that happened in the last year in crypto, like it's, in some ways it kind of showed like a positive side to it. I think, I don't know, Fraser, if you have any thoughts on that after that chat we were having about that. I mean, Alex made a good point. It's like when you look at the Gartner hype cycle, which maybe Matt, you could bring up, or if you just Google the Gartner hype cycle, like you have these, this journey and crypto basically has kind of gone through this mass hype, mass hysteria in like the last couple of years and different bull runs and things. And now it's in this, what they call like the trough of disillusionment. But there seems to be this like upwards trend right now, which is called the, I think it's called the plateau of productivity. And it's where real use cases start to happen. And I think that's where Checked can sit.
I think my first comment there is like, where is this pronunciation of trough come from?
I was going to say the trough of disillusionment.
Either way, it's a horrible word.
So the audio came through perfectly. Just the words in the audio were questionable. I totally agree. But I mean, at the same time, like there was a stage dedicated to crypto and they'd massively undersized it. There were way more people there than they'd obviously expected. It was just, you normally have all of the seats were full, and then there were about two or three layers deep, like stood behind it. So I think they also just like got their, I don't know, it's weird. I think Web Summit, they just hadn't organized things as well as they did last year. I think the biggest thing that you said that I would absolutely agree with was just how much we've come on inside a year. Last year, like you were saying, it was, I think, one of the first conferences we did prop, like as in we were there presenting and had a stand and a booth. And even after that, like we turned up just looking for like leads in general and tried to understand the space. But the bit after that was like this year, we knew exactly who we were going after. We knew who was valuable to speak to. We knew who wasn't valuable to speak to. And we could be much more, I guess, judicious with our time and where we spent it. So I think it's just like that was really good in terms of just how far we'd come as a company. And to be fair, we did run into a few people that saw us last year who came back around. And that was the feedback as well, was like, wow, you guys have been busy in the space of a year. And I think the more that we've got like the, I guess, the infrastructure, the platform at the base level, it's made everything across the top that is actually the bit that people understand a lot easier to do. I think that's the biggest thing I agree with you there. It's just like how much we've achieved inside a year. Also in like, so pretty, in terms of the crypto industry wider, like pretty grim year. So it's been really cool to demonstrate like there's real utility behind this and we're cracking on at a pace that I don't think a lot of people are matching, which is really good.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing your thoughts. It's good to know we've been getting some good feedback and the demo was well received. I know Alex has attended a couple events. He's been down in Australia, but obviously since he's not here, we'll let him comment that maybe another time. Thanks for sharing your thoughts on that. Just very quickly, Anchor, while these guys have been working, you've been enjoying some downtime. It took some interest in that tweet of yours. I'd never heard of a koaka. What is a koaka? I had to put it in the nest there because that little dude looked so happy. Like,
oh, another great pronunciation there.
Anger.
It is a quacker. He got that right.
Isn't it? Isn't it a quacker?
Opinions differ. I think the Australian would be quacker. So Matt gets a pass on this one.
Jesus Christ. The pronunciation police today.
I don't know if has anyone ever seen the Mitchum and Webb sketch where you have the grammar Nazi and he ends up shooting everyone else and then has to suicide because he's like gets something wrong as well. That's gonna be me. That's what I've just done basically.
No, I did have some downtime. I was in Australia to attend friend's wedding, and I got some time to go see quackers. They're sort of known as the happiest animals on the planet because of the way it looks like they're smiling. And it's kind of, they're in the same family as kangaroos. So they're marsupials. They have young ones that they carry around in their pouch. And I got to go along to a zoo where they had a family of these. So it's not just this one that I met. They have multiple, I guess, partners, wives. This quacker was called Ollie, and he got to meet his girlfriend, I guess, Amber, and a different one, which did not have a name, and also got to see the quacker Jerry, which is like very tiny. It's not in one of these pictures, but it was good to get some of that downtime. And unfortunately, I got sick for part of that journey, and then I had to just stay bedridden for a while. But it was fun, and a lot of people to talk to, creds, and checked as well, just sort of socially when I met them in Australia.
Cool, thank you.
I did have to flip my slides upside down, but you know.
Oh, wow.
I was just going to say, just a little smile on his face. I do realize I went off on a little tangent there, but multiple girlfriends. I wonder if that's why he's so happy. But anyway, moving on.
Exactly.
Ross, Anger. We've been moving on a little bit now with the Creator Studio. Obviously, there's been a lot of chatter with regards to where we're going to go next. Features that are currently being developed. So according to the roadmap, Ross, Anger, we're going to be launching profiles fairly soon. Is that still on track? And why is this important? Ross, can you take this one?
Yeah, so profiles basically is the opportunity for people collecting credentials, many of our community and other communities now, to be able to customize their own profile and then publicly share that profile. So far, we've kind of created the opportunity where people can obviously collect creds and then create kind of a basket of different credentials, selecting which they want to choose to share for this specific reason. And so that gives the user the opportunity to select different creds based on the kind of the receiver that they want to send to. So they have lots of control over what creds they actually go into to their share their presentations. One of the things that we thought was quite important as we kind of build the narrative around building a reputation and fitting into the different use cases is to be able to offer people a chance to kind of have their own creds profile, which somewhat becomes like their Web3 CV, and all the ways that they engage with the communities can be listed in that place. And so essentially, just like you have on X or LinkedIn or Bebo back in the day, you'd have a profile, and on that profile, you basically can just say, okay, this is a little bit about me. So a bio, a handle, you know, header, this kind of thing. But the key thing is that you can choose to toggle between what credentials are public and what credentials are private. And so rather than, you know, in the past where maybe on LinkedIn, someone can say, I've done this job, I've done this, and there's very little verification, any credential that you're proving to show publicly will actually be something that's been issued to you. And with this, we've also got a feature where you can customize and see the other communities you're part of. And so it's kind of a first step, and it's going to be very much like an evolving thing, which basically just shows how creds can go from being, you know, one credential issuance, but also can start to fit into things around like CV and loyalty and all these different narratives that become quite important to us.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a big one. Web3 CV, I like that. Being able to build your own decentralized recruitment journey. The other thing that's coming soon, Anger, we're thinking about launching the library. I don't know, you might be a little bit behind on that one, or have you had a chance to catch up? I was going to ask Ross this one, but somehow I've asked you. Maybe Ross, you can fill in after.
Yeah, I can talk about that. So partly what we always focused on from beginning is to not make this the same as every other SSI issuance tool. It's very conscious in the language that we're using as well, calling it a Creator Studio. And at the moment, you can go and create these sort of credentials and then issue them to your community. We also started building out this thing called the library page that allows you to manage and perhaps edit and update these credentials or templates that you have for them, be able to, in the future, also dive into some analytics behind it. So, for example, if you are a community moderator and you've issued credentials to 500 people, how many of them claimed it? How many of them haven't claimed it? How many of them had to reclaim it multiple times because they deleted it and then reclaimed it? So we want to be able to start exploring and displaying some of that behind it as well, because I think proving the value of, like, you know, how much adoption this is getting is going to be useful. Now, obviously, we can only do that for the creds that are issued directly from our platform. We've been getting a lot of interest in tying this up with external or third-party tools or importing in credentials as well. So I think that will sort of, like, you know, come in due course. But what we are trying to build out with the library page or the library experience is to give those deeper insights about, like, you know, how much engagement is happening within the community, what kinds of creds are people claiming, and how they're perhaps using it as a way to emphasize and give feedback to the creators of these credentials.
Awesome, thank you. But one of the other things that I'm really curious about as well is where do payments sit into this? Because we can be building these profiles out, we can showcase our Web3 CVs, you know, we can start displaying our reputation in various ways. But one of the things we are obviously starting to build out is payments, but what does that actually look like? Can you share for the listeners, how can I use that? Or how can that physically be used from a creds perspective if I'm a user?
So there's two portions of this that we're looking at. We think some types of credentials you might need to pay to buy, a bit like, you know, you pay for an NFT to buy them. That's one journey that we've heard some feedback about. Most credentials, I think, that are rewarded for reputation reasons are probably going to be awarded. Let's say you've attended an event or you've gone to an event. But the other sort of, like, you know, way of looking at this is, let's say you're attending an event and you need to buy event tickets. Being able to buy a credential that is effectively the event ticket is one example of how payments could be used. And the other one that we've spoken about for a while is, once you have the credential, if you share it with someone, they'd be able to click a button and check that it's not been revoked since the point that it was issued. So we are working on one of those journeys first. We're using this sort of, like, in a time to get a lot of feedback on the studio experience and how to put in, like, the analytics that we want to surface as well. So I do think the payment stuff, probably watch this space for the next few weeks. We might have an early version of it live in Creds app, perhaps this side of Christmas. But I'm excited about, like, being able to highlight, like, how people might be able to buy and pay to verify credentials as well.
Nice. There you go. You heard it here first, guys. Potentially this side of Christmas. Mr. Banerjee's just broke the first golden rune of development and giving dates. Wow. You've got to meet that one now, sir. No pressure, Ross. No pressure. In terms of partner progress, there's a question come in from Don. Obviously, we've got the 6 launch partners, and can we share how many more potentially going to be onboarding? Can we share any specific names, or can we give any numbers? Ross, I know you've been thrashing out the calls there, buddy. What have you got for us?
Yeah, so we have got, like, quite a number of partners who are also lined up and interested in being part of Creds. I can sort of talk through a little bit around the use case they have. So we have roughly 9 onboarded now. The ones that are also there that haven't been mentioned in the launch partners was The Rollup, which is a large podcast. They do learning journeys and so forth. They kind of create a lot of things around basically ZK rollups and Ethereum rollups, but they've also been quite heavily involved in the Cosmos ecosystem. Cosmos NYC, another organization that came on board, Coin Club, which is someone that we have done Twitter Spaces with in the past. So another one that's kind of using it in that kind of way. Another organization, and then organizations that are kind of lined up but still kind of working through. Defiance is one, which is an organization which does a lot around kind of community moderation, community management. They're basically playing around and exploring at the moment to see how that could fit in their workflows and work streams and so forth. And then we have a number of organizations which are basically I can't kind of announce fully, but they're sort of exploring it. Many from the Cosmos ecosystem, some fairly big names in the Cosmos ecosystem, and then some more niche use cases around both community, healthcare, some things to do with exploring the issuance of on-chain credentials. There's kind of like a good pipeline that we're sort of working through.
Cool. Thank you very much. And just as a quick segue, I'll be showing everybody who's taken part in this space a cred for joining. Please leave a comment below the space and just put a hashtag in there. Give me a cred and I shall fire it over to you at the end of the space. So that's it for Creator Studio. We'll be sharing more on that possibly towards next month or maybe in the new year. We're going to move on to some community stuff now. One of the burning things that I'm seeing in our community, Mr. Edwards, when listing, can you give us an update on where we are, please? Because a lot of the guys are very curious to know when we can enhance the market availability. Obviously, we're sort of getting winding down and finishing off a few tasks. But what can you share while the guys are listening? Floor is yours, sir.
Cool. Thanks, Matt. So again, apologies, I'm stuck in this tin can. But the basically, I think there's been a few updates in the last like month and a half. And so obviously, we'd spoken about like there's been a lot of stuff that's been shared in Telegram around migrating liquidity over, moving that around. So obviously, that's a lot more on the DEX side. So then also having chats with, I think it's kind of shown on Twitter, people like MantaDAO over at Kajira. So that's been going on behind the scenes as well. But part of the big change has been in the last week, which has been slightly mental from our perspective. So obviously there's been, like, if anyone's been watching, quite a significant change in terms of like volumes. And what that's basically meant is suddenly like conversations are a lot easier to have. So like we're now kind of working with OV, speaking with the market makers as well, and kind of like I guess jump starting the conversations that we've been having like in the background for a long time. But they are massively, massively helped by increased volumes, because ultimately that is like how exchanges work, what they monetize based on. And therefore that's what they index really, really heavily on to prioritize. So I guess just kind of reiterating, and I think to go back to the DEX side just really, really briefly, obviously there was a big plan to like move all the liquidity around. Credit to the community DAO for like pulling down the gates community pool, and also deploying that liquidity. Like all of that has been really, really positive, and I think it's really helped. And personally, I would love to see a similar proposal again, because I think it has like really, really made things a lot easier all around. And if we continue to do so, I think you'll, as a community, will be really, really good. And then, like, yeah, just to wrap up the centralized exchange side of things again, like that is, basically the improved volumes, like all the improved traction stuff, like it's massively helping. And I think it will continue to do so. So, there's not much, I guess there's not much I can like say explicitly, but all the, it's one of the reasons it's been such a hectic week is just that so much has moved in such a short space of time. And I think we were potentially looking at like a quieter end of the year and just like making sure we were planned for next year, like everything was like all sorted out and stuff. And then suddenly this week has just been like the best kind of carnage, if I can describe it that way. So can't say anything too explicitly, but there's been a lot of progress made in a very short space of time. So hopefully there'll be updates like maybe the next AMA or the AMA after that in the new year.
We hear you, Fraser. Thank you. And whilst everybody in this session knows exactly what you're talking about, just for legal reasons and any secondary listeners, the CHECK token is not a security and we are not offering a financial investment opportunity. Just wanted to get that one cleared out there. But moving on from that, you've mentioned one of the topics I was going to bring up, and that was around the liquidity that has just been provisioned over on the Uniswap V3 pool and the DAO founders. A lot of work's been put in by yourself, Shabby, hasn't it? We've been quite busy over the past couple of nights, but you've been working particularly hard, notably with Minch and Luke, to get that sorted out. So how's that been going so far, would you say, for the rest of the community? What can you share?
Yeah. So, well, you all know that Proposal 39 was passed on the, well, when was that? Like 10, 12 days ago. So the idea was to provide liquidity on each of the different platform and LP. So one for Osmosis and one on Uniswap, around 250K checked and the equivalent in stables. I would say that first it took us a few days to get our act together and basically decide how we would approach each of our objectives, because the process is very different on Ethereum and on Cosmos. Basically, they don't offer the same tooling and probably I would say the same maturity in terms of tool and how we can interact with multisigs and how transactions for multisigs can be abstracted. So the process is very different on both of those on those ecosystems. So we decided to start first with provisioning the multisigs and had a discussion about who would be part of that multisig. We decided to set up what we call three of five multisigs. So basically, you have five owners for each multisig, and three of them are required at any time to be able to sign and broadcast a transaction. So this it requires a lot of coordination, and it's really a collective effort, because everybody has to be available and online, I mean, at the same time, because people have to sign sequentially. So we had to interact through a dedicated Telegram channel. We had a couple of hectic nights where we would all gather and try to go on with that. We have already deployed on Uniswap V3, as you know. We have a Discord for the CC DAO, for the CHECK DAO, and we log all our actions, because I think it's important that we have some sort of audit trail to be able to show to anybody who would like to understand and know how we proceeded. So we try to log all our actions and basically we did set up a wallet, a multisig wallet for Ethereum, which is safe, which is called Safe. So that's a safe wallet. It's very easy to create, I would say, and it integrates with many dApps, and it integrates with Uniswap. So really, it's really a breeze to interact on the safe platform. Ethereum always requires to sign a lot of transactions, you know, because first you have to you have to accept the token so that you can interact with it, and then after you have to sign multiple times, you all know that. So in Cosmos, this is I would say much more easy, but the tooling is very different in Cosmos, and we haven't started yet, but we know that we'll have to interact directly with the Osmosis CLI. So it's going to be cheaper in terms of fees, that's for sure, but probably a bit more complicated to pass the transactions, especially since we've haven't done it before. So that's going to be something new.
Lovely. Thanks, Chappie. I guess one of the things that, just to reiterate what you were saying, it can be quite difficult. It's not just when everyone's together. I mean, we're quite spread out across different time zones as well. That's sort of trying to get that together. Not to mention as well, getting absolutely wrecked on F-gas, which is a bit of a contentious issue for me personally. But it is what it is. It has to be done, and getting them done sequentially. We had a couple of long nights trying to get that provisioned, but you did some great work, great support. To getting that ready, and I think it went ahead quite flawless, and as Fraser mentioned earlier, it seemed to be quite successful in various areas, so well done. And I guess the next step is, as you've loosely just mentioned there, is firing up the Osmosis CLI, getting the wallets on there, and getting some liquidity shifted over to the new USDC stable pool. What about the amounts, Chappie, just for the community listeners that might not be aware, because obviously not everybody has access to the Discord at the moment, but we will open that. What kind of additional liquidity can we expect to be deployed over on the USDC pool on Osmosis?
So that's basically going to be the same amount that we deployed on the Unifer pool. So you have two legs, of course. So you have the check leg will be 250K. Checked, and the USDC we will provide around 12,500 USDC there, and that's the first transaction that we do, and we hope that there will be repeat deals in the future, so that the total value locked on the pools will get higher and will be substantial. Yeah,
great. Much appreciated. Thanks very much for sharing your thoughts on that, Chappie. If anybody has any questions, now will be a good time. I've been keeping an eye on Telegram. I've been keeping an eye out for comments in the bottom of the threads. I'm just going to have another scan to see if I've missed anything. Ross, Nikki said she can't believe that you didn't think SSI was not sexy before. I think she's slightly disappointed at your comment, mate.
I don't know. Maybe I did think it was sexy. Maybe that was just Anchor, though, because Anchor really was who introduced me to SSI. I think it's not that SSI wasn't sexy. I don't even know what we're defining right now as sexy, to be honest. But I think when I say that, it's obviously tongue-in-cheek, but the key thing is trying to make it real to people. And I kind of arrived in SSI, and I don't want to badmouth anyone that was building an SSI for the last 6-7 years, but I arrived in it and, you know, like tried to understand it. And I kind of bought a pretty dense SSI book, and I watched a video. I think it was a video Microsoft made on YouTube, and it was always quite difficult to kind of put it all together in something succinctly. And I think with Creds, that's kind of what we've been trying to do, because ultimately, like, it was a demo because we really just didn't know how we could try and explain this to people. And so maybe that's the bringing sexy back. Who knows? Anchor, any thoughts on that?
This was a debate we were having within Diff, and on I think somebody had made a comment about decentralized ID not being real. And I have to say, I kind of agree and disagree with the statement. And let me clarify. I think SSI and decentralized ID or decentralized reputation hasn't had its ChatGPT moment. And what I mean by that is that there's a whole bunch of interest around generative AI. There's multiple, like, you know, it's something commonly understood by the general public or the general audience, even if you don't know how any of that works. And I would say that's quite the same for crypto. Like, even if you're not trading in crypto, people understand Bitcoin, Ethereum, Cosmos, Atom. And I think reputation or identity that's in your own control needs a bit of a moment like that before we can say it's real and interesting. And I think that's partly what we're trying to do with a lot of this creds.xyz stuff, on pushing it past the veil of like a system or a standard that computers try to talk to each other with, to something that could be a wide use case that people can point at and go, aha, that is the use case that's got a million or tens of millions of users around the world. Maybe that helps add some nuance to that comment, perhaps.
Wow, Nicky. I picked up that as just a slightly tongue-in-cheek comment, and we managed to pull out some additional thoughts from the team. So
I think just on that, because I think it is interesting. Like, when I, yeah, like the ChatGPT moment, ChatGPT moment, I do wonder, like, how do you create that moment with creds? And obviously, like, it's a completely different scale, but how do you create something that people, like, anyone wants to actually use? I guess Anchor, like, that's quite a good point. Maybe that's something we try and, like, really think through, like, how do we create something that makes it usable to a lot of people whilst being niche enough to get into a specific audience as well?
Yeah, and generative AI has its power users, right? Like the people who are doing prompt engineering, and they're playing around with different plugins, and they're using AutoGPT to hook like multiple things together. And you'll always have power users, and we should, you know, also look out at the, they're the people who advance the field in general. But you also need like to make it much more broad-based use. And I think obviously ChatGPT's level of success is a different level of insane altogether. But I'd love to have much more broader general audience recognition of the fact that, yeah, no, we should have our data back in our control. And this is something interesting. Like I always say, nobody wakes up in the morning excited about doing a KYC or excited that I'm going to get my digital ID today.
All right. Lovely. Well, thanks for sharing your thoughts there, gentlemen. Just looking at the time, we're actually pretty, we've wrapped up close to earlier. There is just a couple more topics I want to talk about. And one of them's from yourself, Fraser. You raised a conversation on the community pool tax on Commonwealth, and you raised it as an individual and not as a representative of the company, in your own words. Where did you get the idea from, and what is the rationale for considering to up it to, well, much higher levels than where it currently is?
So the reason for raising it personally was, I didn't want to like come out with any company view yet, but it was something that had been on my mind for quite a while, and just thought it was something that we should debate or discuss, and just see where it landed. A lot of the time, unless the company feels kind of strongly, like we do take the direction of the community, especially because there are so many like either SSI aficionados or companies in there, like everyone does kind of have a steer. What was kind of on my mind, and so I kind of come into this information from, I guess, a professional like capacity, but just want to raise it personally because I thought it's the right way of doing it. But basically the information was that there were lots of, I think I'm aware of at least two or three different proposals that are basically weren't being submitted because they drain the pool. And so it's like, okay, if that's the case, then that is a problem, because the community pool has basically become a bottleneck for stuff that people want to do. And from my perspective, all of the proposals that we're currently being held off on had value. And what was going to end up happening was like we'd just be sat here waiting until the pool fills up to go and do anything again. As for the community to do anything again, which to me is just slightly insane. And even then, we'd probably end up in a situation where like one goes through, then we're back to waiting for the next one. And I think a much better thing is, let's start, like, from my perspective, is let's start funneling more into that. And also, if you look at other networks like Akash, like the Cosmos Hub, like the community tax is set at 10%. And that I would say is actually the bare minimum. And I'd personally vote for it being much higher, which is kind of where my comments came through later on. So I think we'll probably leave it up over the weekend and then probably submit either like I'll submit it or someone will submit it on Monday. And I think we basically just see how it lands. My kind of would welcome kind of feedback on this again on the poll, but my kind of gut feel is just immediately like put it up to 10%. And I think there's probably a further debate, which is then pushing it up to 20% once people have like, maybe we've given it a week or two for the impact to settle in for stakers, for delegators, for validators, and then go through and push it through again and be like, okay, let's open the debate of pushing it from 10 to maybe 15 or 20%. Because I think ultimately 20% is probably, I think, is where it should be. And my logic for that basically is that it would take roughly a fifth of all network emissions into the community pool. I think there is a lot of good that could be achieved with that. And I think a prime example is the community liquidity. I think having that actually go through is really, really powerful. And I think if we can increase that as time goes on, I think that would be fantastic. But I know there's also about like two or three other proposals all like sat waiting in the wings for funding. And so I think the quicker we could get to that and empower people, the better. Because I guess just to round it off as a final comment, like every proposal that we've seen go through has brought value to the network, and I'd say quite substantially. And so to see it bottlenecked, I think is really, really negative. And it's a really bad thing. So basically just want to get that fixed. So yeah, first up will probably be like, leave the poll up on Commonwealth over the weekend, see where it lands. We'll probably put a proposal up sometime early next week, which would like propose increasing the tax to 20%, or sorry, to 10%. And I think there's a start of an immediate like debate after that, which is, let's go and put this up even further and accelerate things a bit more.
Yeah, okay, thanks. So if anybody hasn't seen that conversation, get up in Commonwealth. I'll put a link to that conversation underneath this thread. Just as a reminder, I've just issued all of the listeners a credential. That's directly under the Twitter Spaces tweet. If you just click the comments up below, you'll be able to claim that credential. I've just got one last question, which I think I'm going to put towards you, Ross, and that again was from Don Simone. Do we have a timeline of when revenue will be generated from the products? Are we speaking about, I'm just wondering if he's talking about the product in general there, or as he's still there, Don, I guess, are you talking about creds, or are you talking about credential service, or just everything? It's a little vague. Should we maybe start with creds, Ross?
Yeah, I think so. And Fraser, feel free to tell me to shut up or jump in anytime. But basically, the approach we want to take with creds is we want to prove we want to get people using it. We want to get people engaging. We want to create sort of a, like Anchor said, a ChatGPT moment where people actually start to use it and explore it. And so the first couple of months, we're going to be opening up as a free trial. And that's kind of like what we're working on at the moment. And we'll probably share more about that in the AMA in a couple of weeks' time, about how we're going to approach verification of creators and demonstrating those and so forth on the app itself. But the key thing is, creds will be monetized. It will be we use in a structure where people will pay to use creds. But then there'll also be revenue streams going back to the creators themselves through the payment rails themselves. And so people being able to set a charge for the verification of credentials and purchasing of credentials. in terms of like specific timelines, it really just depends on the kind of the traction we get once we open this more fully out to creators. We start to see kind of where people actually get the most use out of it. We have quite a clear idea in mind of how do we actually price different aspects of the product itself. And that will kind of, be rolled out once we start getting people very actively using it. Fraser, I don't know if you kind of have any other thoughts based on the pricing discussions.
So I was just taking myself off mute. No, I think that's perfect. I think that the focus really now is on getting people on en masse and seeing how they experiment. I think we could try and monetize it early, but I think actually we'd kind of choke off like people adopting it because they look at it and be like, oh, like if I'm going to have to pay, I'm not sure I'm ready to experiment. Especially because we're bringing something entirely new to market. Like there really isn't anything as far as we're aware that's out there like this. So we do need people to experiment, find what the best use cases are and find what the best growth is. Ross is entirely right. Like focus on getting this out there as a free trial, getting people onboarded, and then basically see how people take it. And then obviously, like as those free trials start to end, bring those people onto paid tiers, as well as I think building payments in there is going to be a massive engine for it. Because it just means if you're issuing credentials, it goes back to that theory of if you're issuing credentials, you're going to issue more of them. You're going to find people who use those credentials. You're going to start getting creative and inventive. And actually, that could be a major revenue driver over time. So, I totally agree with Ross. Like, focus for now, kind of going just into the new year is going to be like opening this up, getting your free trials. And then we're probably looking like towards the end of Q1 where this will start flipping over into, okay, let's start charging for this properly and looking at how people are using it and tailoring it. So, not really much to add to Ross's answer there.
I just want to expand a little bit further because Don's actually clarified that everything in general. So let's maybe consider credential service and credential payments as the separate product itself in terms of onboarding, pricing, that sort of stuff.
Yeah, so I think that's kind of going through the same process, is like getting people on board and getting people used to the idea that they are able to charge for credentials. One of the things that we're doing in the background is a proof of concept on basically Stripe or like fiat-based payments. So it would still use the network, but we would be like, basically people could do fiat to fiat. So we're just doing kind of a POC in the background, just to test out how that would work. Again, still everything under the hood will use the network. But for end users, like they won't see that it is, basically they won't see the tokens at all. They'll just know that like it's running fiat to fiat, and then we're doing all the mapping underneath. But that's basically going through the same process. So that's like bringing people on in free trials, watching and seeing how they behave, and then monetizing as they come to the end of free trials. So I think that's in a slightly similar timeline. And the other thing that we've been talking about as well is bringing credential service. Or like underpinning or exposing credential service through creds. And the reason for that is that we found that a lot of people engage with creds because it's so easy to use. Like I was saying, you can onboard someone inside 2 minutes. So we're looking at that and then bringing people through. And if they want to start issuing credentials in a larger scale, then they get kind of put through to credential service. So I guess it's kind of basically on the same timeline of people going through trials and then kind of being brought through onto paid tiers as they start doing like serious volumes underneath it.
Great. Thanks very much, Fraser. Don, I hope that answers your questions. We're getting close to the end now, and we haven't really had an opportunity for many other people to come up and speak that's listening. Does anybody have any questions with regards to the DAO, liquidity, the tax proposal, the Creator Studio, or anything else we've talked about in general? If you'd like to tap the mic and request to speak, I'll bring you up. If nothing, then I'll get to my final important question. Not seeing anything. Okay, then. Chappy, you there? You still with us? No?
Yeah.
I've got an important question for you before we close down.
There we go.
Okay, if you could be any animal for a day, what would it be and why?
Any animal for a day?
Yeah, man. Any animal, what would it be and why?
I would choose a kangaroo.
All right. Okay. Why?
I don't know. I'm spending so much time on those Telegram chats with all these people that I need to try one.
All right, then.
Kangaroo.
The kangaroo. It is.
I would run after Minch and UQ and try to punish them.
Oh, he just put his famous gif with the muscular kangaroo in the main channel. Of course he has. Ross, if you could be any animal for a day, what would it be and why?
God, I love it. I'm going to go with an orca whale because I just think they just look like they have the best time. Just I love the sea. I love swimming. And they're quite team animals. They kind of work together. That sounds a bit cliche, but I just always think they've got a great time. I would love to Free Willy when I was younger, the film. So that's what I'd go with, an orca whale.
I'm glad you got yourself back on track with that one. Anger, if you could be any animal for a day, what would it be and why?
I have to go for the quokka. They get to eat lots of sweet potato. They don't do much.
celebrities
take pictures with them. You can actually look this up, like quokka celebrity selfies, and and it's got like a whole series of people who travel to Australia just to take pictures with this animal. I'd love to do that.
Wow, okay, cool. Quokka it is. Fraser, if you could be any animal for a day, what would it be and why?
I'm actually really struggling with this. Just to easy out a monkey of some description. I can see Ross coming off from you, so that suggests he's got an animal for me.
Not physical appearance, but I'd have that based on watching you bouldering. I'd have to go like a mountain goat, which can like scale cliffs, like sheer faces.
Isn't that those things that literally just move around everywhere as much as they can and don't do anything else and leave everything else to contribute everywhere else? Is that what that is? Is that what you mean? Is that you?
I didn't mean that was going to become you, Matt.
Need to take you to therapy.
I'm not like Matt. You're not an animal. We can't be you.
All right, then.
Are we gonna tell the story of how you had to fight a monkey for your shorts today, Fraser?
Well, oh, yes. God. Yes, we are.
Thanks, Edgar. So where to start? So if some people may have seen, there is a family of monkeys that live in Japan, and they live around this hot spring. And the reason they live around the hot spring is obviously when it gets into winter in the mountains, it's just covered in snow, and the hot spring is obviously a source of warmth. So they basically live around this thing. They go bathing in it. So there's loads of these pictures of snow coming down, surrounding the pools and stuff, and then the monkeys in the pool. I went there probably about 6 or 7 years ago, and went to this they've built like a nature sanctuary around this hot spring where the monkeys live. So you can go into the park or like the reserve or whatever it is, and like you can wander around. They'll like run around you, you can take pictures, all this kind of stuff. But it's in this valley, and across the valley, so it's on one side you've got a river in the middle, and across the other side there's a traditional like Japanese hotel and onsen, which is a hot spring spa kind of thing. And I went there because it's nearby and like the guide recommended it. They had inside onsen, so they're really traditional wood panel things, super hot water that's coming straight out of the ground. And then they have an outside pool, which is, again, not wood paneled, but just like basically a hole in the floor that they've like made comfortable. And again, like fed with hot spring water. Anyway, the thing with these hot springs and onsens is they're nude. So you just get them, getting them stark bulk naked, and that's the etiquette. It's very similar to like sauna culture in certain places. So like went into the one inside, which was nude. That was like fine. And then I was like, oh, there's the outside one. Maybe I should go there, like just try it out. Like surely this will be awesome. It's like, it's cold, the spring's nice, but actually it'll be really nice. I'll be out there in the nature. But I wasn't sure whether, so that basically the ones inside were gendered. So you had male and then female ones specifically. But then when I went outside, I was like, well, I don't really know if this is a male one, female one, or if it's mixed. I assume it's mixed. Therefore, maybe it isn't nude. So I went outside, like kind of clutching my shorts, assuming that I might have to put them on. And there was no one there. So I was like, well, okay, well, I'm just going to carry on as I did before. And maybe that's the etiquette if you're on your own. And maybe this is a bloke's one. So I just like put my shorts down on the side, thinking nothing really of it. And was just chilling for a while. Like my shorts were, I think, like a foot behind my head or something on a ledge. And I heard like the scamper of these tiny little feet, and literally to Anchor's point, turned around and ended up in basically a tug of war over my own swimming shorts with a monkey on the side of the pool. And just, it's just one of those moments that, I know, no matter how serious things get sometimes, if you just imagine that image in your head, it's just, as it is, it was as ridiculous as it sounds, but also fantastic. It was really like the whole like scenario surrounding that was great fun. The fighting my monkey for shorts was unexpected. The image is exactly as funny as it felt at the time. I did get my shorts back. I did win, and I don't think I was in full view of the nature park. So I don't think there was like a crowd watching me fight for my shorts from the other side of the valley, thankfully.
Wow, that's hilarious. Next week, you're going to find a cred with an AI-generated image wearing some skimpy Y-fronts, and I'm going to send that straight to your cred issuance, Mr. Edwards. And you can keep just for the memory.
Another credential that I cannot claim.
Ah, well, it'll be there for you, and I'll have a record in my library to show that I've issued it to you. Anyway, thanks for sharing the story. We know the real reason you went outside, because there was no one there. But anyway, thanks to everybody for tuning in. Hope you've had a great EMA session and you've learned some insights. Again, if you have any other questions, please feel free to drop them in channel. I've left a claim cred underneath. Go ahead and claim it. Don't forget to share it. Tag checked and tag cred XYZ. Does anybody have any closing thoughts before we close off the EMA for the day?
Matt, can you pin the cred in the top thing quick? Where is it?
It's like literally, sorry, just a second. It's a little bit delayed. I've got it, I've pinned it. It can be a bit slow. Yeah. Oh, it's appeared for me. Anyway, hopefully it's appeared for everybody else.
It's there now. I wanted to make sure I got it before it went.
No, it wouldn't have disappeared. It would have stayed under the tweet. I've put it in Slack anyway, and I'll redistribute it to other people. Does anybody have any closing thoughts other than Ross wanting to claim all of his creds as much as possible? All right, then. Well, I guess that's it. Everybody enjoy your weekend, and we shall catch up with you all next week. Take it easy, boys and girls.
Bye. Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, mate.
Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of trash is under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play, ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Motherfuckers walking around here looking faceless, trying to make a living selling friendship bracelets. Dead ends dragging out the max amount of payments. Red down days got them acting all bankless. Yo fam, what? Check these tokenomics. They probing this bear, flexing broken honest. I had to lay my soul down, I'm just roasting otters. And then to end a long day, sick, I was born to frolic. It's been my policy to pollinate all over the plot. We got a lot of apologists jumping in at the top. We like to measure their velocity before they hit rock bottom. Over impossible loss, it's all moss, and I'm liking the odds. Fondue in the morning, forming mycological bonds. Flick the cap, yo, the road is highly involved. Flip a coin, diary falls. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy, before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play. Ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Trying to figure out the max amount of DNA stacked in non-toxic, just to get a better place. Smacking on the hostage like the shit is play for keeps. Clowns, white knight, and all these Maybellines. They call it implausible when model after model keeps on ripping off the coat and going full throttle. Eats, tearing apart your community. All these low-hanging fruits bearing zero liquidity. Got a planet in reach, coming standard to each. I'm on the back 10, stargazing after the siege. Commanding all the management to grab a few Z's, and then we'll round up the beasts and send a messenger east. Y'all better sign a release when I'm bumping these beats. Hands up if I got motherfuckers drumming the streets. Yo, we got a few dubs, we got a couple defeats, and if you're coming for the king, you better have some of each. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy, before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the verbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play. Ring around the rosy while the thunder is served.
Chill spaces.